Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents The Nuclear Bombshell Series by John Zacor. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by David Coyne, Kimberly Gilbert, Nanette Savard, Evan Casey, Danny Gavigan, Elizabeth Jernigan, Colleen Delaney, Ken Jackson, Nathaniel Perry, Margie Tompros, Yasmin Toison, Bradley Smith, Casey Platt, Anastasia Wilson, Terrence Aselford, Tracy Oliveira, Gregory Gorton, Ren Casey, Tim Carlin, James Konacek, and Mort Shelby. The Flaxen Femme Fatale.
It was coming toward the end of a long, peaceful night of sleep when I rolled over in bed toward Electra's side.
Huh?
I didn't feel her warmth. I patted that side of the bed hunting for her. It was still warm, but it was more of an afterglow warmth. My eyelids creaked open to a very thin slit. Visually searching now, where tactile senses had failed. There she was, sitting on the side of the bed. Those perfectly curvy legs, the sensuous body, her long, light blonde hair flowing down her sculpted golden shoulder. Light blonde hair?
Oh, tweet. Electra has dark hair.
My eyes popped open. There was a beautiful woman sitting on my bed, but it wasn't Electra. Never taking my eyes off her, I reached back behind the bed's headboard and grabbed the knife I always keep back there. I brandished the knife.
Who in the DOS are you? What did you do with Electra?
The mystery woman looked me in the eyes.
Electra is fine. She had an emergency call at the hospital. Some poor kid deactivated the computer drive on his car and had a terrible accident. Thanks to Electra, though, he'll be up and walking again in weeks.
Yeah, Electra's the best. That still doesn't answer my question, though.
They will want you to find me. Don't.
She disappeared. In her place, I saw my holographic assistant Harv standing over my bed, hands on his hips, shaking his head.
What in the name of Gates are you doing? You know perfectly well Electra hates it when you have weapons in bed.
It's not usually in the bed, it's usually behind the bed.
Currently, it is not.
Did you see her?
I saw nothing and detect nothing.
There was a woman here, on the bed.
Yes, Electra, your girlfriend. She's a surgeon, remember? She was called away on an emergency.
I know that. The woman told me.
Zack, neither I nor the house's defense system detected any woman or any sign of unusual activity. I've scanned the house over 1 million times in the last nano alone. You are alone, and have been alone for the last 22 minutes and 31 seconds.
No, she was here.
There was heavier than normal activity in your basal ganglia and thalamus a few moments ago. In addition, levels of certain neurotransmitters were elevated. All these are signs that you were dreaming.
No, she was here.
How can you be so certain?
I could smell her. I don't smell in dreams.
You've obviously never smelled yourself. I can assure you, you tend to get a bit musky when you sleep.
I have no sense of smell while I'm dreaming. And why are you smelling me while I sleep?
I'm a highly advanced cognitive processor. I analyze everything.
I don't want you analyzing my smell while I sleep.
I stopped in the doorway to the bathroom and turned around.
In fact, I don't want you smelling me at all.
Believe me, it's no treat for my sensors either. So, what did this mysterious hallucination woman look like?
She was very beautiful.
Zack, I know you better than you know yourself. You would not dream of a non-beautiful woman. I need more specifics.
I'm surprised you can't glean her image from my visual cortex.
Can't see what's not there?
I guess she looked a lot like Carol.
Dreaming of your beautiful aide, who happens to be Electra's niece. Understandable. You are only human. Still, I wouldn't share this information with Electra if I were you. I would also make sure you keep me very happy so I don't share it.
It wasn't Carol. She resembled Carol. only older, and her hair is more of a light yellow.
You mean flaxen colored?
I mean light blonde. I also want to point out for future reference that Carol resembles Elektra just as much as she does this mystery woman. So if this was a dream, which it wasn't, it could just as easily be construed that I was dreaming of Elektra.
So that's your story.
I grabbed a quick shower, shaved, then took a hit of Joe. Without Elektra around, there was no reason for me to hang around the house. Hopping into my classic cherry red 1973 Mustang convertible, I pulled out of the driveway. I was anxious to get to my office on the new Frisco docks. I was hoping that getting a change of venue would help pry the image of the mysterious woman out of my mind. It did, but not in the manner I was hoping. When you are the last freelance PI on Earth, you get used to a lot of things fast. You get used to alternating spending your time either killing time or trying to avoid other people, machines, mutants, or aliens killing you. You get used to sticking your nose in other people's business, trying to sniff out their troubles while trying to avoid having them snuff you out. You even get used to some people thinking of you as quasi-famous, while others think of you as being lower than the lowlifes who follow quasi-famous people around. You learn to roll with the punches, because if you don't, you don't last long in this business. Gates, when you're me, you even get used to having a whining know-it-all computer system wired to your brain and having a peppy, intelligent, giga-powered gun up your sleeve. The thing I can never get used to is thugs who insist on attacking before I've had my second cup of Joe in the morning. That just really bugs me. There they were, though, standing outside the door of my office. Two of them, a guy and a gal. The guy stood about 2.5 meters tall, dressed in, I'm not making this up, a clown suit, complete with floppy shoes, white face, round ball nose, and a big fake red smile painted across his mouth. I figured he had to be the muscle. The girl was a redhead, average height and build, wearing old-fashioned glasses. She had the look of a cute librarian. I figured she had to be the trouble. When you've been in this business as long as I have, you get a sixth sense. If you don't learn to spot danger fast, you die quickly. The good news was that they weren't hiding, so it appeared they were either really stupid or planning to talk to me before they attempted to hurt me. Either way, I had a pretty good chance of making it out of this in one piece.
No need to drive past. I've already ID'd them through your office cameras.
Who are they? Harv. Anything you could give me would be appreciated.
According to my database, the girl is Jane Doe, and the guy, Ron McDonald.
I'm pretty sure those are fake names, Harv.
Hence my silence. I was trying to collect more data.
I take it you failed.
Sherlock Holmes has gotten nothing on you, Zach.
One of the few advantages of having Harv hooked to my brain is that I can communicate mentally not only with Harv, but also with my gun, Gus. Gus is the latest technical apex in personal weaponry. At first glance, he appears to be a simple long plastic tube that fits nicely up my sleeve. But glances can be quite deceiving, as Gus can pop out and morph into a variety of weapons. I'm not a big fan of guns, but if you gotta carry one, and in my line of work you do, you might as well carry the best one around. You've probably noticed that I refer to Gus as he, not it. That's because all the firepower comes at a price. Gus, the gun user system, is an intelligent gun. He has his own set of morals and personality hard-coded into his chips.
Gus, are you ready?
I pulled the car to a stop just a meter from the girl and her clown.
As always!
Ugh, suck up.
Not so! I just enjoy doing my job and helping fight the good fight!
Hopefully there won't be a fight. I hate brawling this early in the morning. Is Carol around?
Carol will be late this morning, as she is on a long-distance video call with her grandmother, Elektra's mom.
I made the connection.
Carol does have two grandmas.
I like both of them!
I started rolling down the passenger side window.
You're opening the window, giving them a clean shot. What if they are armed and intend to harm you?
Frankly, Harv, I prefer being shot at to being bitched at.
I don't bitch at. I convey useful information to help you better your life by actually living longer.
I leaned over to look out the partially opened window. Gus at the ready. May I help you two?
Mr. Johnson, we have a proposition for you.
I usually don't start seeing potential clients before 9.
We're sorry. It's just that this is an urgent matter. And there are a few prying eyes around at this hour.
We want to talk to you now.
The clown reached down with the hand he was pointing at me and grabbed the door handle. He pulled. The door stayed shut. It's reinforced with plexisteel. When you're me, there's no such thing as being too careful. But he ripped the handle off. He stood there looking at the handle, dumbfounded, as if it was the handle's fault.
This is a classic car. It needs to be treated with respect.
I accented that last statement by sliding over in the seat and kicking the passenger door open into the clown's midsection. He folded over and staggered back as I rolled out of the open door toward him. The clown stayed on his feet. I gave him credit for that, just not too much. Closing in, I popped Gus into my hand.
Mr. Zack, you're not going to use me to shoot a helpless clown, are you?
No, Gus, I'm not. I flicked my wrist to extend Gus's shaft. I used Gus to slash the clown laterally at knee level, buckling his leg.
Oh, that is so not funny.
I pointed Gus at the girl. Talk.
Mr. Johnson, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead by now.
You can't imagine the number of times I've heard that.
He does hear that quite a lot.
I've only been around for a short period of time, and yep, he does hear that a lot.
Well, since we're all in agreement.
Suddenly, the girl's eyes glowed red. And a beam of red energy hit my gun hand. Recoiling in pain, I dropped Gus. Before I could react, the clown jumped back to his feet, pounding me in the back with both his fists. The force sent me crashing to the ground. As I pushed myself up off the cold pavement, the girl put a boot on my head and forced me back down. She had to be pushing mentally as well as physically.
Let's talk.
Talk is good. The girl eased up on the pressure she was applying to me, allowing me to stand up. What's this all about? She reached into her back pocket and pulled out what appeared to be a small diamond-shaped earring. She flicked her long red locks to her right, then attached the earring to her right earlobe.
I hate these things, but at times I need to use them.
I realized that the earring had to be a Pi-Hi Pod, a portable interactive holographic interface personally optimized device. They give the common Joe and Jane access to the latest information and holographic entertainment. But fairly recently, everybody stopped calling them Pi-Hi Pods because it was just too hard to say, opting for the more succinct and whimsical term, Peapod.
So, Mr. Johnson, our client would like to hire you.
A picture of a well-built starlet lying on the beach tanning, stark nude except for sunglasses, appeared before me.
This is our client. Do you recognize her?
I took my eyes off the image and looked at the girl. She's some starlet.
Angela Heavenly. She's done a dozen grade B holovids, but she's more known for the men she dates, of whom there are way more than a dozen.
Angela Heavenly.
Very good.
What does this have to do with me? Is she missing?
Gates, no! If Miss Heavenly were missing, that would be instant news broadcast over all the holoweb. We want you to date her.
Come again? The girl reached up and touched her peapod, turning off the image.
We represent Miss Heavenly's interests. She is interested in you.
I'm in a committed relationship.
True. It just makes it all the more exciting to Miss Heavenly.
What?
She's willing to pay you 500,000 credits to date her for 3 months. The offer doubles if you break up with your girlfriend and make it messy.
Get out of here now before I lose my temper.
You would be well advised to accept our offer.
Yeah.
It's been my experience that some people can't take no for an answer unless dealt with from a position of force, and it looked like it was time to assume the position. I raised my hands up in a gesture of peace. I wanted to give them one last chance to back down.
Look, I said no. I'm devoted to my girlfriend. Sure, she may be a bit hot-headed. Sure, she may not always understand me, but that just makes her more endearing to me.
Would it help if we increased our offer?
I'd had all I could take. I tried with the telling, and now it was time for the showing. Moving forward quickly, I grabbed the lady's wrist with my right hand as I moved behind her, pulling her arm while applying pressure downward, putting her in a shoulder lock. Not giving her any time to react, I placed the thumb of my left hand on a pressure point right below her left ear. I've dealt with size a lot in my career. I've learned that this point can be especially effective against them. I pushed in with my thumb, applying just enough to make sure she not only felt it, but it activated her laser eyes. The beam hit the clown's right thigh, and he flopped to the ground. I applied more pressure to the girl's shoulder.
I assume we now agree to disagree?
I will tell our client you respectfully decline her very generous offer.
See? And that wasn't so hard, was it?
I pushed her toward the clown, who was still lying on the ground, not looking at all comical. I pointed Gus at both of them.
I hope you two have nice days.
Yeah! No, wait! I want you to have bad days!
I was being sarcastic, Gus.
Right, I knew that.
I waved Gus at the angry librarian and beat-up clown. I think you should be going now.
Yeah, this time I really agree.
The librarian reached down and helped the clown to his feet. Together, they limped off to their vehicle, a big black boxy thing parked across the street. I didn't let my eyes or Gus's sensors leave them. until they were out of sight. Did you get a make on the license of the car?
Yes, it's a rental. Rented by John Q. Publico for Hertz Rental.
That's a problem with disposable cars. The companies will rent them to anybody.
Well, their motto is, you've got the credits, we've got the car.
Sometimes I think that's part of the problem with the world today. All people care about is the cash. Before I could ponder that too long, my train of thought was broken by another car coming down the street. This was a long, sleek red vehicle that looked like a bullet, a very aerodynamic bullet on wheels. It was Carol's car. I waited for her as she parked and walked over to me.
So, what happened here?
Zach got attacked by a giant clown and a redheaded lady with laser eyes.
So, business as usual.
Exactly.
Not exactly. I pointed to my car door's handle lying on the ground. The clown thug ripped the handle off my door.
You and that car.
She moved toward the handle.
This is nothing a little size soldering can't fix.
Carol picked up the handle. The ends of it were starting to glow red. Carol walked over and gently placed the handle on the door where it should be. She concentrated for a nano, then removed her hand.
Good as new.
She pointed. My car gently glided into its parking space next to Carol's car. Carol smiled while she walked back toward me.
See? It helps having a nice assistant who's a Class 1 Level 7 Psi.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
You know, moving my car with your mind like that can't be good for it.
I assure you, it's much better for the car than your questioning my techniques is for you. Now, let's go inside before someone else decides to attack you.
My office had recently been rebuilt, courtesy of the new Frisco police. Last year around this time, we had a slight misunderstanding. They thought I was harboring a powerful fugitive who they considered a person of extreme interest regarding the murder of a couple of World Council members. In true blast-first-talk-later form, they hit my office with everything they had, not only demolishing most of the building, but making it virtually impossible for me to ever rent out the floor above me. Long but interesting story short, the only original part of the 200-year-old building remaining is the floor. Which is cool. I always liked the floor. My agency is now split into two parts. Carol's reception area, which sits in front, leads to my office. The two used to sit side by side, but after the police so easily blew through my weapon-proof glass bay windows, Carol and Harp convinced me it would be in everyone's best interest to move my office away from the window. Carol's reception area was sparse and ultra-modern, just how she liked it. She had a chair and a desk that seemed to be made of solid glass. Both looked like they were made by robots on Mars who were in a hurry, as there wasn't a lot to either of them. The wall facing the outside world was composed entirely of a one-way window. It allowed Carol to see the world outside without it seeing her. Both of the side walls and the ceiling were full-wall computer screens, but Carol hardly ever used those. Of course, there was a holographic projector on the ceiling. For the most part, though, Carol preferred to use her desktop interface. She said it was more personal that way. There was also a comfy, but not too comfy, couch along the far wall for prospective clients to sit on while they waited for me. It was a prim and proper reception area, right at home in the 2070s. Entering my office presented an entirely different story. This was my sanctuary against time, my throwback to a more pleasant era, a time when everything wasn't built by robots on Mars. Sure, I had a wall of computers and a holographic projector on the ceiling, but the rest of the place was clearly last sen. I proudly had a wooden desk, wooden chair, a rug made from fibers, not by nanobots. This stuff had substance. I took my coat off and hung it on the wooden coat rack. I popped my fedora on top of the rack and spun toward my desk. Huh. There she was again. It was the same beautiful golden-skinned light blonde, flaxen-haired woman, as at my house. She was sitting at my desk, crossed legs resting on top, wearing a short white flowing dress that danced down her body. She was barefoot. I noticed the small toe on her right foot curved inward in a weird way, showing she wasn't quite perfect. Still, she looked as if she owned the place.
Took you long enough to get here.
Sorry, busy morning.
Yes, I saw the two that attacked you.
Harv, are you getting this?
Harv can't answer you right now. He's like everybody else, frozen in time.
What? Turning and looking into Carol's office, I noticed that she was frozen mid-motion just as she was starting to sit. Peering out through Carol's window, nothing was moving. I turned my attention back to the woman. What's the meaning of this?
They will ask you to come for me. You must say no.
I need more than that.
No, you don't.
I moved toward her, making a fist. Listen, lady, I don't like people breaking into my office, stopping time, and giving me cryptic commands.
No need for violent posturing. I do not mean you or anybody else harm. If I did, you'd be a pile of mush at my feet right now. That is why you should not come after me. Wait, you know other people who can stop time?
I get around. Her eyes opened wide, and she gave me a compassionate look. She touched my chin lightly.
I've got to go. Don't come for me.
I'm not making any promises.
Just say no.
When she disappeared, I went and sat behind my desk. What the tweet did she mean by that?
Should I be worried that you are talking to yourself again?
She was here again.
Who was?
The mysterious, beautiful-eyed blonde woman?
Yes. The mysterious flaxen woman who doesn't exist.
You were frozen in time, so of course you didn't see her.
Zach, you can't freeze time.
We saw Elena do it on the moon last year.
No. She only approximated stopping time by freezing everything around her for a couple of seconds.
Well, this woman could stop time. I think.
Sure she could, Zach. I believe you.
My head started to tingle. I didn't like the feeling at all. Carol appeared at my door. Okay, what are you two doing?
I'm running a quick diagnostic of your brain. I want to know why you've been seeing things.
I'm doing a mental cleanup of your aura to see what I can find.
What can I do to help? I want to make sure Mr. Zach isn't going loony too.
People. I mean, person, hologram, and intelligent weapon system. I assure you, I'm not going loony.
Wacko?
No.
Nuts?
No.
Preso o loco?
No.
Off your rocker, playing with only half a deck, don't have both oars in the water. Blown a chipset.
I'm perfectly fine.
Zach, I assure you, you are not perfectly anything.
Though, checking your aura patterns, it seems you were daydreaming.
Harv looked at Carol, then looked back at me.
My brain scan concurs.
That wasn't dreaming. Believe me, I know. I daydreamed my way through high school.
Yes, your grades reflect that.
Harv put his hand on my shoulder.
Frankly, Zach, with all the times you've been hit over the head, it's a wonder this didn't happen sooner. If it continues, we'll have Elektra and Dr. Rantipool check you out. Hopefully, it's nothing to worry about.
Of course it's something to worry about. I don't know who this girl is, but I do know seeing her means something big is going to go down. Again. I'm not sure why, but once a year, usually around this time, some world-shattering problem falls into my lap. No warning, no signs, no nothing. Just one day, out of the blue, the universe decides it needs me to step up to the plate and get a clutch hit that will lift the planet out of a jam. But the universe can't ever pitch me a nice, big, slow, fat meatball to hit. No, that would be too easy. It always throws me a hard, nasty curve, the kind you never see coming until it's almost too late to do anything about it. The kind that makes most men buckle their knees. Luckily for me, and for the universe, I'm not most men. Harv and Carol both studied me.
Oh, he's doing it again.
Thinking about how the universe is out to get him.
Not get me, test me.
Speaking of the universe testing you, you've been asked to speak at Comic-Con again.
Comic-Con, huh?
Yes, apparently they think of you as some kind of fictional character.
Tell them I'm honored, and I'll think about it.
Very well. I also must remind you that your future mother-in-law, Helena, is scheduled to arrive tomorrow from the provinces of New Costa Rica.
How could I forget?
Careful, tío. She is my abuela.
I mean, how could I forget such a momentous occasion?
Smart man.
Carol turned and walked back into her office.
I suggest you get a haircut.
Which one?
Ha ha. Please remember to refrain from using your legendary attempts at humor around Helena. She is a very important lady.
Don't worry. I'll be fine.
Sure you will.
I needed to keep the mystery woman out of my brain. She was either a figment of my imagination, which would be bad, or she was a super powerful being that I was somehow tied to, which would probably be worse. Either way, I didn't want to think about it. I spent the rest of the morning scrolling through press vids of my future mother-in-law's deeds. She certainly was an accomplished woman, with years on the Nueva Central American Province Council. She even led the revival of real coffee as opposed to soy coffee with the catchy slogan, "Sure, it costs more, but that's because it doesn't taste like crap." Before I knew it, I heard a tapping on my door. I looked up, and Elektra was standing in the doorway, smiling. It was a smile that put a supernova to shame.
Thought I'd take you to lunch.
I looked at the good old analog clock on my wall. It was 11:59. How time flies when you're reading about your future mother-in-law. I pushed myself up to a standing position.
I take it the operation went well?
I walked over to her and kissed her.
Yes, he'll be walking again in a month.
I grabbed my trench coat and fedora.
You know, it's a beautiful day out. You don't need the coat or the hat.
I put on the coat, then the hat. Hey, it's my style.
Oh, so that's what you call it.
Harv appeared in front of us.
It's better than calling it a desperate attempt to bring back an era long gone.
And shorter, too.
I took Electra's hand and we started walking toward the door.
You're extra bubbly today.
I didn't mind that at all. Believe me, a happy Electra is way easier to deal with than an angry one. Latino blood, champion kickboxer, and expert marksman is a dangerous combo.
I'm excited about my mom coming to put her blessing on the wedding. Are you nervous?
No, not at all. Truth be told, though, I would rather face a squad of deadly androids who are a mix of killing machines and telemarketers. Still, no way I would admit that. I opened the door to the outside world. Much to my surprise, there were 6 orange-skinned androids there. They looked identical, like crosses between a life-size Ken doll and a department store mannequin. Real and surreal for a creepy combination. They were all dressed in green jumpsuits, standard Earth Force issue. They were each carrying 2 sidearms. The front droid was about to knock on my door.
Ah, Mr. Johnson, we have a high-paying proposition for you, one that will be impossible for you to say no to.
The androids pushed toward Electra and me, herding us back into the office, which was okay with me. If this was going to be trouble, it'd be nice to have Carol around. Plus, Harv certainly had a home field advantage in here. Carol stood up from her chair when she saw us back into her reception area.
What's going on?
Tell your side to stand down. We mean you no harm.
Let's hear them out, Carol.
I hope this is going to be fast. I have a staff meeting at 2.
You can tell Electra's been hanging around me for a long time when she's more worried about a staff meeting than 6 heavily armed android soldiers.
What can I do for you, gentlemen?
Mr. Johnson, you have been requested to meet with General Sandy Wall, STASAP.
STASAP?
Sooner than as soon as possible.
You will come with us now to Area 51B.
Well, have the General's computer call my computer and we'll set something up.
That won't work.
Do you guys do parties?
Yes, but I don't see how that's relevant. The General does not like to be kept waiting. She has a world to keep ordered and safe.
I ran through the odds in my mind. 6 heavily armed soldier droids versus Harv, Carol, Electra, Gus, and yours truly. I actually felt sorry for them if things got nasty. I just hoped Earth Force had bought the extended warranty on these guys.
I don't like being forced to do anything.
We won't be forcing you if you come quietly.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you guys 3 old-fashioned seconds to get out.
The 6 stood firm. In fact, if anything, they became more rigid. It's actually hard to tell with androids, as they have that stiff, not quite human look to begin with. Don't let the look fool you, though. They're way fast when they need to be.
1.
I showed them a finger with my right hand. No action.
2.
I raised another finger. Still not a move. I just noticed that all the androids had walked into the office in a straight line. So I made my move. I popped Gus into my left hand and aimed it at the lead android. Shot cut the lead android in half and kept going. By the time the shot diminished, all the androids were down.
Wow, good job, Tio.
I'm glad that worked, but that was way too easy.
Nothing wrong with easy.
Agreed. But since when has anything been that easy? Suddenly something, actually someone, came crashing through the ceiling. There, standing between us now, was Tua Thompson. And she looked pissed. I pointed Gus at Tua.
Tua, you do realize I have a perfectly good door.
I'm a mega-human superhero. I need no door.
I thought you were part of the World Council now.
I quit that gig. I've decided I'm way too subtle for politics. I work for General Wall now, keeping the order.
Oh.
The pay is bio-waste, but I get to rough people up for the good of the world.
She looked around at the carnage that used to be the androids.
Oh, tisk tisk. Those were government droids.
Sorry.
Since you are an old friend, I will give you 1 chance to come quietly.
Listen, Zack, I know this is part of your job. I can handle the constant attacks on your life by androids, mutants, and even the occasional alien, but I refuse to cancel our lunch for some superhuman bimbo.
That's it. Your chance is up.
Tua pointed at Electra.
Go back and do whatever you do. You will see Zack again when you see him again.
I will go back and do whatever I do. I will see Zack again when I see him again.
Very good.
Electra held her arms out rigidly and walked out of the office. I was actually relieved, as that could have gone a lot worse.
I took it easy on her. I figure she suffers enough being your girlfriend.
Thanks.
Carol wasn't nearly as understanding or as scared as I was. She glared at Tua.
Nobody does that to my aunt, bitch!
With those 2 words, Tua went flying backward through my office window, landing across the street at least 50 meters away. Now, I've seen Carol stop a squad of killer ninjas with just a thought, but that was the most impressive thing she's ever done. Before Carol had a chance to revel in, or regret what she had done, Tua was back in the office and in her face.
Impressive girl.
Tua lifted Carol up simply by holding one finger under her nose.
I warn you, Tua, put Carol down or I will unleash the full energy of my holographic projectors on you. If I channel them, I guarantee you that you will feel pain like none you have ever experienced.
Please, you're nothing but a holographic yappy dog.
And that's when Harf's form changed from that of a dignified butler to a tiny little French poodle. Tua returned Carol to the ground and patted her on top of the head.
Very good girl. You may have as much power as I had when I was your age.
She exhaled a little puff of breath on Carol, who went stiff and fell over backward. Tua! I popped Gus into my hand.
Don't worry, Zach. I didn't kill her. Luckily for her, I skipped the extra garlic on my mid-morning salad. Gun, zap Zach.
My hand reflexively dropped Gus to the floor. How'd you control Gus and Harv?
Between my World Council connections, my super intelligence, and my own supercomputer skills, it wasn't hard.
You just asked Randy, didn't you?
You are a smart one. Now, time for you to take a nap.
She lifted her arm, bombarding my senses with pheromones from her sweat. The room started to spin, but I kind of liked it. No, I really liked it.
Zach. Zach, wakey wakey.
I'm used to Harv talking inside my brain, but this wasn't him. It was a female voice, but not Carol either.
Come on, little Zach, open your eyes.
My eyelids felt like they'd been ultra laser glued shut and had bricks pulling them tighter. I didn't want to open my eyes, too much effort.
Get up, now!
I forced an eye open. All I saw was yellow, but I managed to slowly roll the other eyelid up. I saw more yellow.
Very good, Zach.
That voice was so familiar. That bright yellow looked so familiar. Suddenly, it all came back to me. Tua had KO'd me with BO.
It wasn't the smell that put you at my feet. It was the pheromones. Okay, maybe it wasn't all the pheromones. Nobody makes a good deodorant for superheroes.
I pushed myself up to my knees.
Whoa.
The room was spinning, but not so fast that I couldn't see I was in a cold, sterile office. The walls were painted gray, the floor was a cold gray cement. Each corner boasted a uniformed armed guard. The place was certainly military.
Harv, are you still with me? Come on, Harv.
I mean, yes. Oh, that was an experience I don't care to repeat.
Shake it off, Harv. I'm gonna need you.
Please don't tell me to shake.
Tua bent over and lifted me straight to my feet.
This is General Sandy Wall.
For the first time, I noticed there was a blonde-haired woman sitting behind a desk. She was as cold and sterile-looking as the room. Her features looked like she could have been chiseled from stone. She was straight-faced and steely-eyed. I got the impression if she smiled, her face might crack.
So, this is him?
It is.
He doesn't look like much.
Believe me, he is far more formidable than he looks. Most humans would still be out cold if I blasted them the way I did Zach.
I pulled myself away from Tua. What's this all about? General Wall looked at me.
We want you to find somebody.
Well, you're gonna have to be more specific. I'm good, but I'm not that good.
One more wise-ass remark like that, and I'll have Tua rip off your arms and feed them to you.
Would you do that?
Probably not both of your arms. Maybe an arm and a foot.
Now, who is this person of interest you'd like me to find?
You can learn. I like that.
She pushed a button on her desktop. The holographic image of a beautiful woman with light blonde hair dominated the middle of the room. It was the woman I'd been seeing all day today. I wasn't at all surprised.
Her name is Natasha.
What is she?
A tool. Potentially a very dangerous tool. We need you to track her down.
How dangerous is she?
I suppose very won't be good enough.
Smart general. The general gazed downward, then locked eyes with me.
I swear on my first two ex-husbands' graves, if any of this is leaked out, you will be killed slowly and painfully.
She looked through me at Tua.
Correct?
Well, Zach is an old friend. Can I kill him sort of slowly and fairly painfully? For the good of all that is good?
Fair enough.
If this info is to die for, then it better be good.
Oh, it is.
And worth my time and effort.
We will talk money later when my superior arrives. For now, suffice it to say you will be well paid.
I studied the image of Natasha, slowly rotating between the general and me. It wasn't like I was going to track her down by the shape of her ass. Though as asses go, it was one of the more shapely ones.
Stop concentrating on Natasha's ass and look the general in the eyes.
I did. Tell me everything you know about her.
I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you enough.
Enough will do. The image of Natasha morphed to a younger version.
She was cloned here on base a few years ago. This base was all she knew until yesterday when she suddenly just disappeared. We don't know why she left.
Maybe she needed a change of scenery. I know I would.
Yes, well, if she had asked, we may have considered taking her on a controlled field trip.
Controlled? Apparently she wants to lose control.
If she did, that would be bad.
How bad?
Really bad.
Define really bad.
She creates an aura of negative energy. Anything that comes in contact with her ceases to live.
You mean it dies?
Yes. Our goal was to make her the perfect assassin, and we may have succeeded too well. She's so deadly, especially when she is angry or in a bad mood, that several times a month we need to isolate her in a special solitary confinement center.
Why not send Super Tua after her? Tua being invulnerable and all.
If Natasha saw Tua, she would panic and send out a wave of negative energy. That is what happened yesterday.
She pushed the button on her desk, and the image of Natasha simply standing there was replaced by the image of Natasha standing in a common area, surrounded by uniformed soldiers. She was playing ping pong with a female soldier. Others were standing around talking, chatting, drinking, watching sports on the HV. It looked like a good time was being had by all. Two large MPs came up behind Natasha. One of them looked at his wrist communicator, then tapped her on the shoulder.
Natasha, your rec time is over. You are due in the training area in 5 minutes.
Just 5 more minutes.
Natasha slapped a ping pong ball past her opponent. The two MPs stopped their approach.
Yes, 5 more minutes.
They sat down on the floor cross-legged, intently watching Natasha play. Okay, so she's a powerful Psi. I've dealt with Psis before. A lot. The general looked up at her holographic projector on the ceiling.
Skip forward 6 minutes.
The projection zoomed ahead. The situation was still pretty much the same. Natasha was playing ping pong with everyone else intently transfixed. Tua came bursting into the room, hair standing on edge, chest thrown out in full Tua glory.
Natasha, you are late for your training.
Natasha ignored her as she continued whacking the ping pong ball back at her opponent. Tua stomped up to Natasha, catching the ping pong ball in midair and crushing it. Not really that impressive.
I got caught up in the moment.
Watch the holo.
I focused my attention back on the display. Interestingly enough, the non-holographic Tua looked away from the image. The holographic Tua put her hand on Natasha's shoulder.
Come with me now. No.
There was a bright flash of light, and Natasha was gone. Everyone else in the room had fallen to the ground. They were lying there motionless, stuck in the positions they'd been in the second before the bright flash.
They are all dead, killed in less than a blink of an eye. Natasha is the deadliest being on the planet, and that is the last we saw of her.
I'd call her more of a weapon than a tool. The holographic projection dissolved, allowing me to see the general clearly. I could tell she was holding back a gulp.
Call her what you want. We need her back here. We can keep her under control.
Yeah, some control.
We have made modifications to our procedures.
Tua looks okay for a dead woman.
Luckily, we had a full squad of medical bots on standby. They were able to revive Tua and most of our people.
Tua took a step backward, her hands behind her back.
She caught me off guard.
Nothing is immune to the negative energy Natasha can generate. You probably couldn't tell from the video, but all life, including insects, plants, and even the bacteria within 100 meters of Natasha, was instantly killed. She did it without even trying.
What could she do if she tried?
I don't want to think about it. It would be bad. To make matters a bit more challenging, Natasha seems to be growing more and more powerful with each passing moment.
Yeah, of course she is. We wouldn't want this to be too easy.
We can't send any of our own people after her. She would recognize them, panic, and kill everyone and everything around her.
Wow. I never thought I'd meet anybody who could scare Tua.
I'm not scared. Just cautious.
Yeah, right.
Remember, I'm cautious of her, not you.
So you need me to track her down.
Natasha is a danger to all around her. She's a loaded instant death ray. She must be stopped.
I'm not a hired killer.
She's a valuable asset. We want her brought in. She's not physically invulnerable. She doesn't know you from any other civilian on the street.
I wanted to say don't bet on that, but I held back.
You can catch her off guard, knock her out, then contact us to bring her in. No matter where you are in the world, we can have our people there in 10 minutes. The decision whether she lives or dies is far beyond my pay grade.
For better or worse, I was intrigued by the situation. Not so much by the fact that Earth Force wanted me to go after this deadly dame. I was much more fascinated by Natasha's having shown up earlier and warning me not to take this job. Why didn't she want me on the case? Was she scared of me? I doubted that. Was she trying to look out for me? I had no idea why she would be. A wise man would have said no. What does the gig pay?
The pay for this job is another question that's beyond my pay scale.
They don't pay you a lot, do they?
I do this job for the love of the Earth and order and all that is good. Earth Force gives me room and board. I am a woman of few needs.
I don't get the free ride. If I'm going to be risking my hide, it's got to be worth it. Suddenly, a short, stocky, bald Asian man in uniform stormed into the room. General Wall, the MPs in the room, and even Tua all shot to attention. I noticed he had 5 diamonds on his shoulder pads. So you're the big cheese.
Yes, I am General Chen, the commander of Area 51B. You will be paid 1,000 credits for every day you are working for us.
Not exactly a lot to be risking my neck and the rest of my body for.
Plus, you will receive a 5 million credit bonus when you track Natasha down. As long as you track her down first.
Track her down first?
We may hire another outside operative or two also, if we can find the money in the budget.
So, Johnson, are you man enough for the case?
1,000 credits a day alone was a nice payday. The bonus meant the job was going to be a lot tougher than they were letting on. Will I have access to all your records on Natasha?
Yes. Though if any of this leaks to the public...
I'll be killed in the most painful way possible. Believe me, I know the drill. I'll also need to see her room.
Why?
It's how I work.
You will have full access to her quarters with Tua as your escort.
Then, as of now, I'm on the job.
Very good. After you sign a few papers for our legal team, Tua will escort you to Natasha's quarters.
After a brief liaison with a team of military lawyers, Tua led me through the gray, winding corridors of the complex. Whatever Earth Force spent on this place, they didn't allocate a lot of their budget for aesthetics. So, she killed you?
I was only a little dead.
This was a Tua I'd never seen before. A Tua that was scared. I hadn't thought Tua was bright enough to ever be scared of anything.
I'm not scared of her. She just caught me off guard, that's all. When we meet again, I will be ready for her.
Nothing wrong with being afraid, Tua.
She just got lucky.
So, what was death like?
It was beautiful. I saw a bright, shining light just beckoning to me.
Really?
No, of course not. I don't remember anything about being dead because, well, I was dead. Didn't have time to do much sightseeing, being dead and all.
I get the point.
Some of the troops did say they saw a bright yellow light, but I'm pretty sure they were just hallucinating, since they were dead. Deader than me.
I didn't know there were stages of dead.
Zach, the stuff you don't know would fill a petabyte storage device. Have you ever been dead?
Thought I was once. Does that count?
No, of course not.
Been knocked out so much, the hospital has a stall reserved just for me.
If you don't mind, Zach, I prefer not talking about it. My death isn't exactly the high point of my life.
I understand.
It probably wasn't the worst thing I've ever been through. No more painful than being lectured by my sister Ona on how I'm not supposed to knock out an entire city block when I take out a jaywalker. And certainly no worse than listening to Thria babble on and on about how extra green and lush her trees are in her fairy realm due to the special fertilizer she uses.
Special fertilizer?
Trust me, you don't want to know. It's no wonder Thria is the only person who lives in her world.
So what you're basically telling me is death is boring, but no worse than hanging out with family.
Yes, I suppose I am.
She pointed to a door.
This is Natasha's room.
Tua turned the knob, but the door didn't open. Do you have the key or passcode?
I'm sure I can break the code.
I'm sure Harv can pick the lock.
Keys and lockpicks are for normal humans.
The force of Tua's breath blew the door open wide. She turned to me and pointed inside the room.
And I am anything but normal.
You don't have to tell me that. I entered. Natasha's room wasn't much. It looked like a dorm room at a university, and not an expensive one. There was a twin bed with a stuffed puppy lying next to a pillow along one of the walls. There was a desk and a small wall-screen viewer along another wall. The desk had a few old-fashioned paper publications covering it. Harv zoomed in so I could see that they were a couple of magazines from the 20s and a British science fiction comic book. I had to give her kudos for both her choices of reading material and subjects. For the most part, though, the room was quite ordinary.
This is where you keep the deadliest being on the planet? She doesn't even have a closet.
She was supplied with everything she needed. She had access to all the latest information and entertainment options.
Harv, download everything she's read or looked at for the last 3 months.
Done.
Anything stand out?
She tends to watch a lot of real old stuff like you do. Go figure.
I mentally filed that for later as I spun around slowly.
She doesn't even have a bathroom.
There's a community bath down the hall. We wanted to condition her to be one of us.
I'm surprised she didn't kill you all sooner.
Zach, we worked hard to make her happy. We even sent her subliminal messages.
You brainwashed her?
No, we wish. Her mind was far too strong for that. We just transmitted calm, peaceful images to her while she was sleeping.
I filed that little piece of info for future reference, preferring to concentrate on the room. Besides the stuffed puppy, the only things that gave the room any sign of life at all were the old-fashioned travel posters that adorned the walls. There was one for Vegas, another for Intercorp's Niagara Falls, another for the ultra-mega-hypermart Grand Canyon, another for the SMED, Supermale Enhancement Drug-sponsored Big Ben, Eiffel Tower, and Pyramids, and finally a superhero poster. All these posters were the old-fashioned kind, printed on real paper. They weren't the virtual animated posters of today. I like that. There may not have been a lot of clues in the room, but at least there was enough to point me in the right direction.
Okay, I've seen all I need.
Really?
Would I lie to you?
Not if you don't want to experience death yourself.
How do I get back to my office?
You're going to hate this.
Before I could scream to a no, we were back in New Frisco next to my office, hovering about 4 meters off the ground. The two things I hate most in this world are teleporting and heights. Tua saw the look on my face and was surprisingly astute.
Oh, I probably should have knocked you out this time, so you wouldn't worry about the teleporting. Or the height.
Yeah, that might have helped.
I could knock you out now to keep you from whining like a girl.
No, that's okay.
I'm pretty sure a whiff of my boot would knock you silly and erase your memory.
No, really, it's okay.
Probably for the better. Super foot odor can be such a bummer.
Think of how your poor victims feel.
I'm pretty sure they don't have time to feel anything. They just fall over and wake up a day or three later. Yet I have to live with the embarrassment. All because you little people are so fragile.
Can you put me down now, please?
You don't really mean right now, do you?
I'd prefer landing first.
We started floating downward.
I thought so.
Why did we teleport above my office?
Safety. This way I didn't have to worry about materializing inside something else. Less math and mess this way.
Huh. Good point.
When we finally touched the ground, Tua released her grip on me. I looked over at my office. The window Tua had crashed through and the roof looked repaired.
Huh? My office looks okay.
Well, kind of Spartan and old-fashioned for my tastes.
I mean, it's been repaired.
Oh, yes. I sent a cleanup crew. It was the least I could do, after being somewhat responsible for the damage.
How sweet of you.
Don't worry. We'll dock your salary.
Just as soon as we were about to reach the front door, Carol came storming out. Her hair was dancing around her body, and she was crackling with energy.
So, you came back for a rematch, Perra!
Tua took a defensive stance, her fists ready.
Call me bitch again, and I'll make you think you're my pet puppy. Then the highlight of your day will be cleaning my feet with your tongue.
If anyone's going to be cleaning anybody's feet, it will be you cleaning mine.
Ladies, we're all on the same side here.
Your uncle has a point.
That's only because you just tried dogging me and I repelled it.
Still doesn't mean your uncle wasn't right. I'll let your insolence pass this time. Bye, Zach.
Hasta la vista, bitch.
I put my arm around Carol and we started walking toward the open doorway. Glad to see you're not one to hold a grudge.
She had it coming. The bitch isn't all that.
I'm impressed you held your own with her.
Remember, I once almost took over the world.
Kind of hard to forget that, my dear, though you were being augmented.
I'm even more powerful now.
I don't even want to consider beginning to ponder thinking about that.
So, what did the bitch want you for?
Harv appeared. He'd been awful quiet for the last few hours. I wasn't complaining, but it certainly wasn't characteristic of him. Perhaps my encounter with Tua still had him shaken up. Harv put his hands on Carol's desk.
Not surprisingly, they want Zach to help them track down a super hot, super deadly female.
Oh, same old, same old.
She peered over at an old-fashioned paper calendar that I make her keep on the wall.
Yup, it is that time of year again.
Here's the kicker. The woman they want him to track down is the same one who has visited him already.
No!
Hard as it may be to comprehend, it appears Zack is not losing his mind. When they showed Zack images of the woman called Natasha, the same areas of his brain were firing as when he was explaining her to us.
So she does exist!
Apparently so. The fact that she can hide her presence from us is a bad sign.
Not to mention that she can kill everybody around her with a thought.
Yeah, that's bad too. I've been spending the last few hours trying to devise a defense against her.
I take it you haven't succeeded.
My, you're brighter than Tua gives you credit for.
What does she look like?
That's where things get even a bit weirder. Harv morphed into the shape of Natasha. Carol looked her over from head to toe.
She's hot. She could be my sister.
It might not have been the most modest statement ever made, but it was accurate. Yeah, it's kind of freaky. Have you got any sisters I'm unaware of?
Nope.
I pointed toward the image. Here's the kicker. She's only a few years old.
Great, that probably means her breasts aren't finished developing yet.
We all turned toward the door. A freckle-faced brown-haired kid, maybe 15 or 16, 17 at the most, poked his head into my office.
You're Zachary Nixon Johnson, right?
No autographs today, kid. If I get to Comic-Con, you can get one then. He smiled. His teeth had old-fashioned plastic braces.
Oh, gee golly, Mr. Johnson. If I do go to the Comic-Con, can I get your autograph in blood?
He dropped a protective helmet over his head and flew into my office toward me. Right then and there, I realized the kid was wearing a high-powered robotic exoskeleton. Before I could do anything else, he lowered an armored shoulder, plowing me into the wall. It stung, but thanks to my Under Armour, the wall took more damage than I did.
This is getting ridiculous.
I grappled with the kid, trying to tip the scales back in my favor, or at least trying to keep him from getting any more of an advantage.
I'm actually kind of enjoying it. It allows me more opportunity to improve our melee interface.
Thanks to Harv augmenting the muscles in my arms, I was able to hold the kid's exoskeleton-enhanced arms at bay. I just noticed that he had two extra robotic octopus-like arms attached to the back of the metallic skeleton. Somebody'd been watching way too many comic hollows. A quick glance over at Carol showed that she'd be no help for now. Fairly hairy, but still attractive in an odd sort of way. Yeah, I need help. Woman-tiger hybrid had followed the boy into the room and leapt on Carol's back. The clawed tiger lady was flailing away at Carol. The tiger lady was trying to bite up more than she could chew, as Carol was telekinetically blocking all her swipes. It was only a matter of nanos before Carol would be able to focus her concentration on the tiger gal and turn the tables. For now, I had my own problems. The kid was stubborn, but not overly stupid.
Hey, you're stronger than you look.
Yeah, well, I work out a lot, brawl a lot more than I like, get plenty of sleep, and take my vitamins.
Mr. Zack, don't forget I'm here, ready and able when you need me.
Don't worry, Gus, my good fellow. I haven't forgotten.
Surely you realize I'm a weapon, not a fellow.
Figure of speech, Gus.
Oh, I thought you were taking one too many shots to the head for a moment.
Give up, kid, before you get hurt.
Never!
His eyes squinted. That was the tell. I ducked down a split nano before one of his extra robotic arms came smashing through the spot my head had been not a moment earlier. The arm impaled itself in my wall. Kid was nothing if not persistent, whipping the second robotic arm toward me, this time aiming lower. The second arm joined the first, lodged in my wall.
Ah, please!
Here's where the kid showed his lack of experience and wisdom. He removed both of his hands from my pinned arms and immediately tried using his human arms to pry his robotic ones free. My first instinct was to clock him in the jaw with my newly freed hands. He'd hurt me some and I wanted payback. Here's where my experience kicked in. I knew that hitting a kid clad in robotic armor would hurt my hand at least as much as it hurt him. Instead, I dipped and slid right to the outside of his entrapped arms. Popping Gus into my left hand, I placed him against the kid's right metal arm.
Give him a nice, and by nice, I mean really painful shot, Gus.
With pleasure.
The force of the shot caused the kid to reel backward, falling on the floor. The good news for him was, his robotic arms were now free. That's where the good news ended. He was on the ground in pain, his extra robotic arms rendered useless by the shock. This gave me time to turn and check on Carol. The tiger lady was still clinging to her back, clawing away, but her attacks hadn't been able to break through Carol's telekinetic shields. This lady was tough, but nowhere near Carol's league. If she wasn't able to put Carol away when she caught her off guard, she didn't have a chance once Carol locked her focus.
Okay, enough fun and games, chica gato.
Carol lifted her arms to her sides and arched her back. shooting energy from her back into the attacking tiger lady, projecting her across the room where she crashed to the floor. The tiger lady tried to get to her feet, pushing herself up on all fours. Carol was on top of her before she knew what hit her. Carol simply placed her hand on the tiger lady's head.
Stay!
The woman remained in place.
Nice kitty.
The tiger lady rubbed herself along Carol's legs. Carol turned and walked away.
I've never really been a cat person.
Satisfied that Carol had her situation under control, I pointed Gus at the kid, who was still lying on the floor, not quite sure what had hit him.
Who are you?
I moved Gus closer to him. How about another shock?
My name is J.J. Jackson.
So?
Last year, I won the reality show, So You Want to Be a Bounty Hunter?
Never heard of it.
It was on the ARN 13.
That explained a lot. I don't watch the reality networks. I get enough reality for my real life. I reached down and offered him my hand. He accepted, and I pulled him up.
You've been hired to go after Natasha, too?
The kid popped his visor open. If he was shaving, it wasn't very often.
You can't be 18.
I'm 17.
That's not 18.
I'm young and fast.
I bobbed my head in the direction of the now-declawed tiger woman.
Who's your babysitter?
Her name is Farah. She's a throwback to 2030 when they were still splicing animal and human DNA. She was a guest judge on the show. We hit it off, so I asked her to join me. She was sick of that phony setup stuff.
Now for the 100-credit question. Why come after me?
Do you want me to pay you 100 credits, or will you give me 100 credits for answering?
Just answer.
You're freaking Zachary Nixon Johnson!
Yeah, tell me something I don't know, like why you came after me.
Trying to cut down on the competition.
You've lost me, kid.
We want the bounty.
So Earth Force gave you a gig based on an HV show?
Yeah, that depends.
On what?
On what gig means?
The job.
In that case, yes. That and the fact that General Wall is my Aunt Sandy.
Unfortunately, that makes sense.
Do you wish me to call the police? This is a clear case of assault. I'm sure your buddy Captain Ricky would gladly throw the book at them.
How many bounties have you two collected?
Not counting the ones I caught on the show?
Yeah.
That would be, one.
One?
Yeah, but she was a tough granny.
Tough granny?
She was like you. She drove one of those old-fashioned, non-computer-controlled things.
A car?
Yeah, a car. Thing was, she was like 122, and her eyesight wasn't that good, so she had racked up like 100 tickets that she refused to pay. She was an ex-hacker, so she removed her address from the police database so they couldn't find her.
So how'd you track her down?
I looked at the police records. 3 of her accidents were on Wednesdays at 11 p.m. at the same location, the Ultra Mega Hypermart Mini Mart. We staked the place out and caught her going in to buy her weekly lottery ticket.
I smiled. I liked the fact that the kid spoke the lingo a bit. Plus, he showed initiative. Sure, the police could have probably done the same thing if they'd cared, but at least he was smart enough to tackle somebody he could handle. Not sure why General Wall would send him out hunting for Natasha, though. She was either crazy and thought of him as an option to get the job done, or she knew he couldn't get close, but it would keep him from bugging her. Or, more ominously, she wanted him to get close and fail. Any way you looked at it, the long-term prospects for JJ and Farah weren't good in this business. I had to help. Not sure why. I guess I kind of liked the kid. He reminded me of a young me. Except for the braces, of course.
I got a deal for you, kid.
I'm listening.
I could use a couple of extra legs, eyes, and noses on this case. Why don't we work together?
Why should I trust you?
Because I'm one of the good guys. If I wasn't, you'd be having your teeth put back in your mouth by now.
So, who would call the shots?
I don't know. Let's see. You were on a reality HV show and have tracked down an old lady with bad eyesight. I've been a PI for over 10 years, solved over 100 cases, and saved the world as we know it 5 times.
Plus, he's been shot at well over 100 times, broken every major bone in his body at least once, and has insurance premiums higher than a stunt-driving rodeo clown.
Your point being?
I'd be the lead.
Because you've been beat up a lot more?
Because I have experience.
I don't know. You're kind of old, and I'm not sure my fan base will accept you.
Plus, I can beat the crap out of you and have you and your partner sent to jail.
You make a good point. I accept your offer.
Wise choice.
What's my cut?
What's Earth Force paying you?
Nothing up front, but my aunt, I mean the general, says we'll get a 10,000 credit bonus if we bring in Natasha.
I'll pay you 100 credits a day and give you the 10,000 credit bonus if we stop Natasha.
My aunt must have offered you more, huh?
Yeah, a little. Comes with the experience.
She never was my favorite aunt. She always gives me socks for the holiday. So what's our assignment?
I turned back to Carol. She was now sitting at her desk. Farrah was rubbing against her like a cat trying to get attention from its master.
Please snap her out of it.
I gave her mine back 5 minutes ago. She just likes me.
Yeah, Farrah can be a little kinky. But she has a great nose and knows how to brawl with the best of them.
She just doesn't do as well with the very best of them.
Yeah, I guess.
Thing is, kid, Natasha is the best of the best. You try taking her on alone. You and your cat friend end up feeding the worms.
How do you feed worms?
You'll be food for the worms. Dead as a doorknob, deader than an Elvis clone performing at the opera.
You've made your point.
JJ looked at Harv.
Does he often go on tangents like this?
Yes.
Looking over at Carol, JJ saw she was nodding in agreement, as she petted a very content Farrah.
The point is, you are not to engage Natasha. If you find her, call us.
What about my aunt?
Sure, you can call her too if you like. Just remember to call us first.
Why? So you can take the credit and the credits?
Remember, kid, you make more cash if I bring her in than if you do. So what do you want more? All the fame or more of the cash?
I can get a lot of babes with fame.
You can get more with cash.
Yeah, I'll call only you.
Smart man. You know what Natasha looks like, right?
Yep. My aunt gave us a picture, and Farrah her scent.
I need you to check out the local clubs where there's dancing or playing ping pong. I'll have Harv allocate some funds for your travel.
Really? Sal, the HV show never did that.
Yeah, it's good to know I'm more generous than a reality HV show.
When do I start?
I have allocated the funds to your account.
That means now.
Come on, girl.
Farrah looked up at Carol with longing eyes.
Go with the boy. He needs you.
Farrah reluctantly pushed herself up to 2 feet and walked over to JJ. She looked back at Carol and smiled.
Go on. Go on.
Don't worry, Zach. We won't let you down.
I'm sure you won't.
Carol, Harv, and I watched as they left the office.
Das, sometimes I don't know my own strength.
That surely was nice of you to let them go.
You sure we can trust them?
I nodded. Carol had put the mental whammy on Farrah. I knew she'd die for the cause if needed. JJ, for all his tough talk, was still a kid. He wanted to please more than anything else. They weren't the ones I was worried about trusting.
I would have turned them over to the police. Instead, you put them on the payroll.
Call me wacky, Harv.
Please, I've called you much worse.
I just have a feeling that by the time this case is over, we're gonna need all the friends we can muster.
What's the plan now?
I need you to search through the Area 51B databases and get me all the information on Natasha you can.
But I don't have total clearance.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's not gonna stop you.
No, it won't. I just like to hear you say it.